straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 160, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our good friends at Bud Light. My name's Cedric Golden, and I'm joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And Duck, we got a big fish on the hook. Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule joins us via phone here in the dungeon. The Baylor Bears host Texas at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. And Baylor did drop a tough one to Oklahoma. I watched the fourth quarter. And, Coach, let's get right to it. After watching that game, it just seemed to me that Oklahoma won it and Baylor didn't lose it.
They did it one play at a time. We gave up no big plays.
That's right.
They just converted on third down. And really the second half came down to tackling. Our defense had a hard time tackling. We had a hard time getting off the field. And on offense, you know, even though they couldn't really stop us in the first half, mm-hmm. we started off with a long run that resulted in a fumble. We had a drop. We had finally an interception. And so all the things that you could do to hurt yourselves, you know, we did in the second half. And I think I truly believe that a lot of that was symptomatic of a team that was trying to win the game and hurry up and win it, as opposed to, you know, just playing football. And so I think that's a great lesson for me as a coach. It's a great lesson for our team. No matter how much you say, hey, don't look at the scoreboard, just keep playing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to actually lose one and say, you know, we didn't do that. And so we lost one. It's one of the few times that I've had a fourth quarter lead as a head coach and lost the game. And so, you know, again, well, hopefully it'll drive us.
You know, Matt, we got back from Des Moines, and I watched the fourth quarter of that game, and it was back and forth, and Jalen Hurts is just one heck of a player, and he's got the weapons, and we both know Lincoln Riley's a great coach. What positives can you take out of that game? We both know Charlie Brewer, and he's one of the most competitive people I've ever covered. What was his response in the locker room, and how have the last couple of days been as you guys have basically come to grips with what happened and you look forward to Texas?
Well, I think the last couple of days have been great. I mean, I thought Sunday was just, you know, was as good a Sunday as we've had. As I told our guys, you know, 120 some other teams have dealt with a loss this season. You know, teams like Alabama and Georgia and a lot of great teams have had to bounce back on a Sunday. We just waited till week 10 to do it. And, you know, so.
Hey, that's a good. You'll take that weight every year. You want to wait till week 10 every year. That's great.
Yeah, if I could do it, you know, I would. So I think our guys absolutely came back with the right attitude. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, we know the opportunity we have in front of us to play Texas. We have the opportunity. It's for us. It's our senior day. And, you know, while we're disappointed with the result, I mean, that was a big-time atmosphere. And our guys were having a ton of fun flying around and playing on Saturday. And so we have a chance to come back and play again. And I hope we learn from it, but I also know that we're really excited to get back out there.
Well, and you're right. The atmosphere was pretty much unlike anything I'd ever seen in Waco before. Game day was there, and it was impressive. Students were going crazy, and it was a big-time atmosphere. I wonder if nothing else, and you've got a great chance to get in the Big 12 championship game and get to a New Year's Day 6 bowl, what do you think this season has done for Baylor, the program? And I know maybe you haven't got as much respect from the selection committee as maybe you thought and hoped, but what do you think this exposure has done for your program?
Well, I think, you know, starting with Saturday, I think that, you know, from a recruiting perspective, you know, recruits that came to the game, for people that turned on the game on College Game Day, you know, you hope that they see, you know, just what's happening here, that that this is a big-time university, this is a big-time football program that you can, you know, come to, you know, live in Waco, live in Central Texas, play big-time football, get an elite degree. I think it's really done a lot for us in terms of recruiting and the future. But I think more important than anything else, you know, this is a group of seniors that's sitting here at 9-1, and there's a group of juniors led by Charlie Brewer, who you talked about, you know, who's sitting here at 9-1, And, you know, Charlie was 1-9 as a freshman. And here they are just 2 years later, through all the adversity, through all of the headlines, through all of the, you know, conversations. Mm-hmm. All these guys have done has worked. You know, we don't make excuses in our program. We don't throw each other under the bus. We just work. And I'm proud of these guys. And I think what it does is it tells our young players that hopefully this is just the beginning. If they will have the same attitude that the vets have, they will grind the way the vets did, then, you know, hopefully we can be a real power in the conference for years to come. And that's my message to our guys is don't let this, you know, 9-1 should not be the highlight of your football career. It should be just the beginning, and we have got to continue to improve this week, the rest of this year, into the coming years.
Like you said, don't be a flash in the pan. And said, this is pretty interesting. I looked at Matt's record after year one at Temple and year one at Baylor, and he's 42-20.
I'll take that.
1-11 at Baylor and 2-10 at Temple. And from year three and on, you were there 4 years at Temple, right, Matt?
Yes, sir.
And it's 29-8.
Wow.
Once he gets his program up and running. And that just says, I don't know how many recruits were there Saturday. Did you have a bunch of them at McLean Stadium, Matt?
Yeah, there were a bunch of them. It was a bunch of kids that are committed to us, a bunch of kids that, you know, are still making decisions, a bunch of guys that are – you know, I think one of the key things we've tried to do is make sure, you know, kids that are younger, that they get there and they see the atmosphere and they see, you know, kind of how we play football and then really what the program's all about.
And you know what, Matt, and sorry to interrupt.
No, it's Kirk. Okay.
The one thing that strikes me, having been around you from year one to now, your message hasn't changed. Your message was the same at 1-11 as it is now at 9-1. How important is that consistent message into being successful? I know you work in Waco and you work in the city of Fixer Uppers. The Gaineses are good at it, but you have become great at being a fixer upper. You've done it at Temple and you've done it here. What's the importance of keeping that consistent message?
Well, I think that's key. I think young people always raise or lower their behavior to the expectations. So I think when you set really high expectations for the people around you and for yourself first, I think when there's tremendous accountability, and then when you're honest. I mean, you know, people would always ask me, how do you get the team to come back week in and week out when you're 0-5, 0-6, 0-7? And I would always say, we just tell the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, we did this well, we did this badly. I did this well, I did this badly. I started the team meeting on Sunday by saying, you know, if I could go back to yesterday, I would not have done this. I would have made a different decision. And my message to our team was, I want all of you guys to sit there and say, what could I have done better and done differently? But that's also the same thing I was saying after we beat Iowa State or after we beat Texas Tech. That's my message every week. Come in and identify, hey, what can I do better? What can I be successful with? And so I really believe that rebuilding programs is about building relationships. It's about getting everyone aligned and coming together for a common goal, even though you're not going to accomplish that goal anytime soon. You know, it's easy to come back and have success and everyone's on board. It's hard to do it through adversity. And the good thing is, and the reason why when we went 1-11 our first year here, the kids didn't all transfer, is because we did it together. We never turned our backs on each other. We never pointed fingers. I never said, hey, the players aren't good enough. The players never said the coaches aren't good enough. We all just kind of said, you know what? We're not good enough yet, but we'll get there someday. And I think when you have those relationships, that carries forward into now when we're having success. You know, I got a bunch of guys that are banged up that are playing through injury. I got a bunch of seniors that I've said to a couple of seniors, hey, if you don't want to play and get ready for the draft, I will protect you. I got your back. And you know, Denzel Mims's of the world, Bravion Roy's and all these guys, they're all in it for their team and their brotherhood. And that was born to me, you know, those seeds were sown, you know, in that first year of adversity. Those aren't just happening because we're having success now. That started with kind of the brotherhood we tried to form that first year.
And you mentioned, I think you got 19 seniors that you're honoring Saturday, and you got 7 senior starters on defense, including Bravion Roy and a great junior from Round Rock and James Lynch. It's such a good defensive front. You know, how good are Lynch and Roy up front?
Well, they're outstanding players. You know, Bravion's really been a difference maker for us the whole year. And, you know, when you're the nose tackle, it's not always the things you see. It's also, you know, just pushing the pocket. And the greatest compliment I can give those guys up front is, you know, Clay Johnston was on his way to an All-American season, the middle linebacker.
Right.
Making tackles everywhere. Tore his knee up, and Terrell Bernard stepped in. And since stepping in, he's had two Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week awards that he's been given. Had 19 tackles against TCU. And you're only able to do that as a linebacker if you have great players in front of you. And James Lynch, to me, is one of the most selfless, most diehard players that I've ever been around. And he believes 1,000% in the cause. And when your best players believe in not just what you're doing but the way you do it, you know, it allows you to really get your message across to the entire team.
It really does. And Bernard, I think he had 15 tackles against Oklahoma. I mean, to lose Clay Johnston like you do and have a great player like that step in and play at an all Big 12 level or higher is just incredible. And you got a contract extension, you know, in August through 2027. And I think I probably speak for all of Baylor. They're probably on pins and needles every time they hear your name. You've come up for every job at the White House. I assume you're not running for the White House, but it seemed like your name comes up for every other job. You know, how do you address that distraction? And you know, and Cedric and I both think you belong at Baylor for about the next 50 years. But how do you handle all that?
Well, I think number one, I've always just tried to be really, really honest with our players. Like going back to, you know, my third year at Temple, I was going to interview for one job, and that was the Missouri job, and I knew I didn't want it, but Mac Rose, who's my AD here, was the AD, and I knew him, and he was, he said he was coming in, and so I brought all my seniors in and told them, hey, I'm going to interview for this job, but I'm not going to take it. I just want to make sure you guys know.
Right.
And, you know, in the past 2 years, when NFL teams have called me here, I've brought in the seniors and said, hey, guys, if they're just going to hear that, I've told players, when people thought I was leaving, players would call me. I always pick up the phone and talk to the players, talk to their parents. Because, you know, I go to my juniors and say, hey, do you want to look at coming out early for the draft? Do you want to look at, you know, I have those conversations with our players because I understand that these are life-changing moments for our players. And so I'm not going to hide anything from them. They know that if I say, hey, I'm not going anywhere, that it's real, because I tell them if there's a chance I might go somewhere. I just try to keep it as transparent and real as possible for our players so they always feel honest about it. And when they came to me with this contract extension, to me, it took options off the table. It said that, you know what, because they gave me this contract extension before we were 9-1. You know, we were 3-0 at the time or whatever.
Right, right.
Basically what they were saying was, Coach, we value what you've done over the last couple of years. Because, and it's not really about me, it's about our staff. I want to make sure I say that. It's just my name gets put on it. But the ability to keep our staff here, you know, the work that's been done, you know, that's being recognized now, has been done the first 2 years. It's been done behind the scenes. It's been done, you know, in academics. It's been done in the recruiting. It's been done in all those areas. And so for Mac Rhodes and the people at Baylor to recognize what we've done over the last 2 years, that means a great deal to me. So I plan on being here for a long, long time. I've tried to convince my wife to buy a place on one of those lakes down there by you guys. And I mean, we absolutely love it here. I think it's a wonderful place. And I think this year has shown me and shown everybody just what Baylor can be.
You know, Coach, you guys are facing a wounded bunch in Texas. They were up on Iowa State late, and they had a couple of late penalties that led to Iowa State kicking the winning field goal. What Texas team do you expect to see on Saturday, and how exciting is it for Texas and Baylor to be both playing, knowing that they're going to a bowl game, and there's still a little iota of a chance that Texas could qualify for the Big 12 championship, but they'd have to beat you guys. What's the mindset of the Bears entering against Texas?
Well, I don't think there's a player on our team that doesn't have a lot of respect for Texas. And, one thing I've learned, you know, being here, whether we're playing TCU or Texas, it's just how many relationships and guys that know each other on the teams.
Right.
So I think, we could probably meet and have a bowling thing, and the guys would, you know, love it and get together. And, I mean, I think they have great friends on both sides. And so I know that we're going to have an unbelievably, unbelievably competitive, physical, violent in a good way, hard-played football game. And, you know, because that's who Coach Herman is. And you know, I had the utmost respect for Todd Orlando, going against him for many years. I know what he's going to do. He's got his pieces back on defense. I've got so much respect for Tom and the things that he'll do. And so, you know, it's going to be an absolute battle. And you know, they beat us last year at the end of the game. We weren't able to make enough plays to win the game. 2 years ago, they came here and they beat up on us pretty good. So it's been a while since a Baylor football team has beaten Texas. And that's for many reasons. I mean, they have great players. They've recruited really, really, really well. There's talent all over the place. The quarterback's an absolute, you know, great football player. And so I think our guys have a lot of respect for them. But I think our guys also, you know, think we have some good players too, and we want to go out there and play against the best. And it should be a great crowd. You know, I think it should be hopefully a great atmosphere, sold out. And I'm really looking forward to watching our guys play and play against a great team like Texas.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Texas has won four straight in the series, but we both know, all three of us know, Charlie was thrown in the end zone on the last play of the game last year. So you got
that would have changed the course of several of two teams for sure.
Yeah,
would not have been a Sugar Bowl in Austin had that happened.
Yeah, it was a very competitive thing. And so, hey, before we let you go, would you do us a favor and play this quick little lightning round for us, real quick takes?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. A little bit off the wall. Either what is your favorite book of all time, or maybe a favorite book that you've been reading lately?
Oh, wow. So I love books. And so,
I know you do.
I would say my favorite book of all time would be maybe Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, nice.
Wow, I like that one. Here's one from me, Coach. If the rules are hosting movie night and inviting their best friends over and it's a marathon, what three movies are going to play on that 80-inch flat screen you got at your house?
I'm going to tell my wife we're getting an 80-inch flat screen because she turned me down. I would probably say Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, my God, you're my brother. Okay, all right, yep, I love you now. Yep. That's my favorite.
I would say my wife, if she got to pick her favorite movie, it would be Out of Africa. And the fact that I know that and I'm saying it out loud is awesome. So I get some brownie points. And I would probably pick Hoosiers as my favorite movie. And so it would probably be those three movies.
Okay. Hoosiers, my favorite sports
here you
movie
go.
Ever.
All right, Coach. So before we get that third question, Shawshank Redemption, I think that, Kirk, that's our favorite movie, isn't it?
Well, To Kill a Mockingbird, my favorite. Shawshank's top five.
Shawshank's my favorite, Coach. And Hoosiers, I know, is Kirk's favorite basketball
favorite
movie.
Favorite sports movie.
Yeah.
Favorite sports movie. So, okay, to stay on this theme a little bit, who was your celebrity crush when you were a teenager in your 20s, assuming your wife's not listening? Any celebrity crush?
And I know she's not.
She won't be listening.
So wow. You can. That's easy for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be, I can't remember, they had a show called Who's the Boss,
Who's
and there was
a girl
on there named Alyssa Milano.
Oh, wow.
And I love, until I met Julie, Alyssa Milano was the apple of my eye.
She was Arnold's daughter in Commando. I remember her.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, okay, and my last one is, what is it? Oh, yeah, who would play Matt Rhule in a movie on his life? What actor?
Oh, Some of the people always make fun of me. They say it would be Mark Ruffalo. They say it looks like me.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin James.
I like Mark Ruffalo. he's much more svelte than Kevin James, okay?
But Matt looks kind
of
like...
The year you catch me.
Matt looks like Kevin James a little bit.
So Mark Ruffalo, was he the Hulk? Wouldn't he the Hulk?
Yeah, that's him. That's
him. Exactly. Okay, the last one I have for you. Give us something about Matt Rhule that very few people know. A hidden talent, something, bucket list, something that you're a great cook, or something that people do not know about Matt Rhule.
Oh man, I'm a pretty much an open book. I think a lot of people know that I love to play table tennis, but I love to play ping pong.
Oh, me
that's
too.
Probably one of my true hidden talents. And other than that, like if it was up to me, I can't. My knees don't do it anymore, but if I could go be a professional pickup basketball player, I would probably do that instead of coaching football. That's my great love is playing pickup basketball.
All right.
Coach, you still play?
I'm done as of about a year ago. But
the knees said no more?
Yeah, the knees said no more. But I go up and shoot and talk trash. You know, the players always think, you know, I'm some old guy. They don't know. I grew up in New York City that I used to have a handle and a little bit of quickness, but it's all gone now.
A little Dr.
Yeah,
J action.
I understand it. My cartilage is gone, and as my ability has gone down, the weight has gone up. So, Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. I know you're playing hurt. You got that nasty fall cold like many of us do. So appreciate you coming on with us. Hope you'll come back again. And much success to you and in the future. And we can't wait to see the game on Saturday.
Well, thank you guys very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Thanks, Coach. Bye.
Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
Duck, there's a reason we like Matt Rhule. He comes correct, and he's a straight shooter, and just a guy that you can get behind.
Yeah, you hope he stays there forever. I doubt he will, but that would be nice. So
yeah, it really would be. But let's talk about, you know, we just talked about with him the game coming up. From the Texas perspective, Duck, we talked to Zach Shackelford and Sam Ellinger, and they were both keeping their cards close to the vest. And that was on Tuesday. Keandre Colburn was real. I like Keandre Colburn.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
He's a future leader of this defense. He's Chris Nelson light. I like him. He's a thoughtful cat. The one thing you can take to the bank about one Malcolm Roach is he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's one of those guys who's going to tell you the truth as he sees it. Malcolm Roach jumped off sides at Ames, and it allowed them another chance at a kick. They kicked it. They changed kickers. They kicked it. They won the game. Malcolm Roach is carrying the blame around with him. It was bigger than one play, Doug.
Sure
that
it was.
Game was way bigger than one play.
For sure.
But I have profound respect for Malcolm Roach. He owned up to his mistake. Not only did he own up, but he showed up Tuesday to face the music. He didn't have to. We've been around this program forever. They make it an option if
right.
if you want to come talk to the media. And listen to what Malcolm Roach said about the offsides call.
Life goes on, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, so you got to continue to move forward.
Was that as down as you've been after a loss here?
I probably never felt like that after a loss before.
Yeah. Anybody help you get over that?
Like I said, my mom.
About teammates?
My teammates talking to me, you know, coming up, talking, you know, all of us was hurting. So just staying together, you know, the biggest thing we have to do to get through it.
You just talked to Keandre. He says you're the leader, you're the OG. How important is that to you? With these last three games left, to leave a legacy of leadership here?
It's very important because, you know, this guy's now that look up to me, and I want to see them, you know, I want to just leave a great example for them of how the game should be played and how you should interact with your teammates and things like that. So it's very important to me.
Duck, that's a man.
Yeah, he did. He accepted responsibility. He admitted it was deeply, deeply frustrating. He basically said, I asked him, well, who's been there for you? And he said, well, his mother talked to him a lot, and his mother was consoling him, and his teammates were trying to pick him up. But when you're a senior and that sand is slipping through that hourglass, it goes fast at the end. And he was hurting. He was hurting. And you're right, they don't have to all come. I remember Roy Williams, he came every Monday after they lost four times to Oklahoma. He didn't have to either, and I respected him for that. And I don't believe he ever scored a touchdown in that game, but he showed up as well. And,
who was the baseball player that you have profound respect for? Messed up.
Oh, Jamie Doughty, the shortstop.
Tell that story.
Well, Texas was playing at Arizona State, a huge national ranking on the line. He was at Arizona State, and he was the shortstop and made four errors. And they lost the game. And afterward, I was interviewing Jim Brock, the Arizona State head coach, Cliff Gustafson, the pitcher, several people. And I looked over in the Texas visiting dugout on the road, and there sat Jamie Doughty in the middle of the dugout all alone. And I walked over to him and I said, hey, what's going on? He said, well, I figured you'd want to talk to me. And I thought, boy, I wanted to hug the guy. This is instant class. You know, a lot of guys make four errors. He'd be the first one on the bus. And but he was there during the bad times as well as good times. And you always respect that because he was accountable. And Malcolm Roach was the same this week. And he did jump off sides, and he said, I was trying to make a play. You know, and we
for
have
my team.
Yeah, we have a tendency to beat up the players and the coaches, and obviously the media, the social media, they like to come out in droves as well. But, you know, these aren't kids. They're young men. They're young men, 18 to 22 years old. But you just, and I know you agree with me, you just felt for Malcolm.
I did.
He was definitely in pain still Tuesday, 3 days after the game.
And, you know, I was on the sideline with CDC, with Del Conte, and I didn't see who jumped. From where we were on the
right.
Texas sideline, it was on the other side of the field, and we couldn't see. We just know what the
flag was. It looked like about three guys. I thought Joe Osai jumped.
I did, too.
It looked like two or three guys.
Upon replay, I thought it was Osai.
Yeah.
But, for Malcolm to take responsibility and to take it on his shoulders, and as a senior, it really hurts him because – he knows that was one of those had-to-have-it type games.
Yeah.
And if you look at it big picture-wise, Texas is still in the hunt if they win that game. They went out, then they're probably going to make it with a little bit of help. Of course, they would, you know, they'd have the tiebreaker over Baylor, and Baylor won
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they wouldn't need any help if they won that game.
They wouldn't need any help. They would have advanced to Jerry World. So he knows all of that. He's a smart cat. But I'm telling you, I think the team that wins this game, Kirk, is going to be the team that's able to bottle up that hurt and that anger.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor's got his own set of issues. Rule said it. You know, they let a big one get away. And the team that marshals its resources and gathers the troops and is able to circle those wagons
mm-hmm.
and bring its best effort is going to get the win. And I'm going to go ahead and just put it out there now. I'm picking Baylor to win this game, and a close one. I think they're a better team overall. They've had a better year. They're healthier, and I just think they're in a better state of mind. The one thing that they can take to the bank, yeah, they blew that 31-10 lead, Duck, but they were up 31-10 on Oklahoma, and if they can get up 31-10 on Oklahoma, they know they can beat the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, and Texas played Oklahoma within a touchdown, but they really didn't. You know, they were scrambling from behind the whole time, and you know, lucky to make it that close a final margin. But Baylor was in it right up to the end. And even though they did not perform offensively the second half, you know, they probably felt like they left that to get away. It was right there for them. So I'm like you. I like Baylor in this game. One, it's in Waco. Two, they're smarting from the loss to Oklahoma, and they felt like they should have won. Texas could have won, but Baylor probably feels like it blew that. And the third thing is they got more on the line. They win Saturday, and Baylor's in. If Texas wins Saturday, they still got maybe a 1% or 2% chance of getting in because Baylor would have to lose to Kansas, Iowa State, you know, would have to lose to, I think it's Kansas State probably in their finale. A lot of stuff still has to happen. And Texas would have to beat Texas Tech. So,
and that's not a given, Doug.
No, nothing's a given, not with this Texas season that's been so weird. So, I don't know. That was about as disappointing a game as I've seen Texas play, although we should be used to it by now. That's their third loss in five games. They needed a last-second field goal to beat Kansas and K-State in that five-game span. So they have not played well the last five games. They played great for three quarters against Kansas State, and they played well offensively against Kansas. But you can make the argument they really haven't played well the last five games.
Mm-mm,
not that well.
They haven't, and it's been disjointed. It's either Sam Ehlinger plays great and the defense has struggled.
Right.
Or the defense has a rare good game.
Yeah.
And the offense doesn't come through.
Yeah, Sam throws four interceptions against TCU. So
yeah, was the TCU score? Was it
27-21, something like that, you know.
Yeah, when your defense gives up in the 20s in the Big 12, you're supposed to get a win.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that was the game Sam had four interceptions, and this game the defense played a little bit better, but the running game was non-existent. 54 yards on the ground. It's just a puzzling team. You know, you wonder how could a team that plays, you know, toe-to-toe with LSU, you know, and they're trying to recover an onside kick to perhaps, you know, tie and eventually win that game. But and then they just, you know, laid an egg at TCU. They didn't play well against Kansas. They didn't play well against Oklahoma. So it's just a hard team to figure out.
It really is. My thing on Texas, I think the senior leadership is there. I think Malcolm Roach is a good senior leader. I think that I'll count Sam Ellinger in there because he's a captain. Colin Johnson has been a good leader. Colin hasn't been able to get off, to get out of there and be consistently healthy. And I mentioned it a little bit on the Longhorn Confidential podcast, Duck. I would consider not playing the rest of the way if I was Colin Johnson.
Yeah, see, I disagree with you.
I know you do, but
I just don't think you can make a business decision. Now, if you're Tua,
why not?
I don't know. In college, you know, you're not playing for money. You're not playing for yourself.
These guys want to go pro.
Well, then why even play your senior citizen? You got a better chance of not getting hurt.
Senior year. Why play your senior year?
After the junior year.
You have to build your resume. And he's had a much better junior year than a senior year because he was healthier as a junior. But if this thing is going to be lingering on for the next 3 weeks, why not shut it down? Get healthy. Yeah.
I just couldn't look my teammate in the eye and say, Sid, I know we need this win. We got a small chance at getting to the Big 12, but you know what? I'm going to be a second or third round draft pick, and I don't think I'm going to play against Baylor. I could not look you in the eye and say that. I'm sorry, I couldn't.
But it happens every day.
Well, that doesn't mean it would have to happen with you or me. It does happen a lot, but that's not the way I'm wired.
Me neither. But isn't it easy to say that knowing that you're not an athlete and you're speaking in hypotheticals.
Well, no,
and he's
speaking
in absolutes.
No, I'm being truthful, though.
I could push a button
right now.
I know you're not spinning this.
And say that. So, I mean, each person has to do what's right for him. I mean, Connor Williams didn't play the last game or two. He sat out the bowl game, and I think the coaching staff was upset about that.
Nick Bosa, same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of guys have done it.
Of course, he was hurt, wasn't he?
He was banged up.
Didn't he have the pectoral?
Was banged up.
I thought it was more than banged up.
Maybe he was out for the year.
I thought he was out for the year.
And if he was, then...
Then that's totally different.
Yeah, but if he was out for the year, then why did he have to announce it?
Announce what?
That he wasn't coming back. That made no sense.
Well, if he's out for the year, it's a moot point, isn't it?
Yeah, but he did. But there's a big announcement. There's a big hubbub about it. We need to look it up and see. But my thing on Colin is... It's been a senior year that's been a loss for him.
It has been.
But he's
been good at times when he's in there. He was coming off, back-to-back 100-yard games and playing pretty well. I don't know. That's the whole thing about injuries. I hate to ever question how hurt somebody is because nobody really knows except that person.
It's a hamstring.
Well, I know.
You don't get over that overnight. Those can linger.
Well, he sat out, four games, I think it was, before he came back?
I think he's missed four, and then...
And he came back, and now he's missed...
Two?
It'll be two in a row with the Baylor game.
Because he's not playing.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Bosa. He underwent core muscle surgery in September of 2018. They ruled him out indefinitely, but on October 16th, he announced that he was withdrawing from Ohio State for the rest of the season. So right in the middle of the year.
Yeah, but wasn't he out for the year?
Just said indefinitely.
Yeah, right.
Poor muscle surgery. That's what DeSean Jackson just had. I don't know that you come back from that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
So, but he was a junior. So after that season, he announced that he was foregoing his senior citizen. Senior season to enter the NFL draft. So...
Yeah.
Another thing that we haven't talked about with Colin is he's a captain on this team.
Right. And so that makes it even harder to shut it down.
That makes it even harder. So, all right, Duck, here we go. What do you got?
Like I said, I think Baylor is a better team. They're at home. They got more to play for. Probably healthier as well. So I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think either team would blow out the other one. But I'll say it's going to be Baylor, I'll say 31-24.
You got them winning by a touchdown. I think it's going to be closer than that, and I agree with you that it's not going to be a high-scoring game. There might be a couple of big plays.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of these offenses has set the world on fire as of late, except for that first half with Baylor OU. I'm taking the Bears 27-24. It's going to be coming down to the end.
Dude, so, I want to see that one.
I think that you'll get to, God willing, and the creek don't rise. It's going to happen, sir.
On Second Thought.
Duck, the Texas basketball team, off to a really good start this year.
4-0, dog.
What about the Fighting Shaka Smarts, dog?
4-0.
Why were you hating preseason?
Oh, who was hating? I like this team. I wrote last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, I like this team. I like the options they have, their youth, their athleticism. And, you know, they're 4-0. They can play a lot better. Haven't shot well at home, surprisingly. But and Courtney Ramey hadn't really gotten off yet. So, I like the way the team's playing.
Matt Coleman having a good start to his junior
year.
Real
good start.
Jericho Sims having a good start to his junior year.
A lot more aggression, a lot more energy, playing a little more physical and violent, as Shaka told us on Monday. So, they go up to the Garden.
Tonight.
Tonight and play Georgetown. A 3-1.
Say that again.
The Garden.
Nice.
The Garden. And play 3-1 Georgetown. They got a great European guy transferred from North Carolina State who's put some pressure on them. But I think they can beat Georgetown. And then you got probably number one Duke, assuming they don't drop a game to Cal. So I don't know. That'd be a good measuring stick. And even if they come home, if they came home 5-1 and play competitive against Duke,
that's a big harbinger of things to come. Let's hear what Shaka said about how the team is start, because I really was concerned about the interior play in the preseason. The guards have shown up. Andrew Jones has been a great light for this team. But let's hear what Shaka has to say about how the team has started out so far.
Exciting week for us, heading up to New York. Guys had a much needed off day on Saturday. After being on for 9 consecutive days with practice and games, going back to our preparation for Purdue. We practiced yesterday, had a very spirited practice session, a lot of stuff that we're really attacking, working to improve on. But the biggest thing that we're emphasizing to our guys is as we work to get better at all the basketball X and O elements and individual skill parts of the game, is that we need to also continue to improve on the cultural parts of the game that win and go into winning. Stuff like our response when things do or don't go our way, our competitive effort, our intentional execution, our willingness to be connected around one common cause. And that's what's going to make the difference this week when we go up to New York, playing a great team. In Georgetown, they have some phenomenal length and versatility on their team. So it's going to be a heck of a challenge for us, and our guys are really excited to get up there.
Duck, you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. He's focused, but you can tell he's kind of happy. We know Shaka knows, man, this is a big deal for him this year. I know the money games haven't started yet, but the fact that he's already pocketed a win over a very good Purdue team, and now he's looking at a very good Georgetown team coached by Patrick Ewing, possibly Coach K and Duke. They're in a good place right now.
Yeah, they are, and he's trying not to get ahead of himself, and
it's a long
doesn't
long
want
season.
His team to get fat-headed, and they can play a whole lot better. They didn't look as great at home as maybe Shaka thought they would, but, they're sharing the ball better. He told us Monday his goal was like 60% assists on every bucket. And they were like 75% at Purdue. They had assists on 18 of 24 buckets. So that shows you a lot. It's not one-on-one ball. It's not hero ball. They're sharing the ball and working together. And I think they can do a whole lot better on pick and rolls. And obviously Courtney's got to pick up his shooting. But the defense has been right there. They forced something like 61 turnovers already in four games, and you got to like that.
Yeah, and I think it goes back down to the aggressive perimeter play of the guards. They've got athletic guards. They're not huge guards.
No, they're not short.
But they're not short either.
Yeah, they got some length, and they're kind of wiry on them. And, you know, Donovan Williams, the freshman, I think he's going to get better and better. And I like him. We haven't seen too much out of Kai Jones and Will Baker. Bless his heart, just can't get the ball to go in the bucket.
It'll fall eventually.
Yeah, but don't you think he needs to get down low and get some easier buckets, get some putbacks?
You're preaching to the choir, fam. I think he needs to get down low. I think he needs to establish a type of identity that he's not a one-trick pony.
Right.
A 6'11 guy that's just taking threes, if he's making them, fine. But if he's not making them, how about taking advantage of that God-given height? They don't have another guy on the team that's 6'11".
No, you know, Kai Jones is supposed to be the rim protector and shot blocker. I don't know what his minutes, but, you know, this weekend is going to be really big for Royce Hamm and Jericho Sims inside. They're going to have to play well. And Courtney, you know, big time, big stage, national TV games. Hopefully, you know, he gets his thing kind of turned around a little bit better. But they've got a little momentum now, and hoping they can keep it going.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 160 of On Second Thought. Big thanks go out to Baylor football coach Matt Rhule for joining us. For the Duck, Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.